He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera. The time right now is 10:05. I'm coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in anytime is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Like you, I am in shock this morning. In shock and in mourning over the seven children killed in a fire in Brooklyn. Whenever children are involved in a tragedy like this, we come together as a community to talk it out. And that's what talk radio is all about, the first social media. And 77 WABC is all about that. And there's so much to talk about. Let's start with the obvious. When things like this happen, we naturally personalize it. It's how we feel empathy. It's the definition of empathy. I know people who have lost children. We've lost children in my family, not my children, but we've lost children in my family. I've been there in homes right after they got the news, both as a relative and as a reporter. And in those moments, I have witnessed firsthand unadulterated pain, wailing, pure and unfiltered grief. And automatically, when you experience that, you hurt inside. You feel some of it. But it's impossible to feel it all. We all feel some of it, but it's impossible to feel it all. I have four kids. They're all healthy. I once had a scare when my son Michael was an infant and stopped breathing, but he's now a happy and healthy 11-year-old. Still, when Michael's little infant body was loaded into an ambulance and I didn't know what was going to happen and I couldn't take that ambulance ride because my wife was going along and they could only allow one, I broke down in the parking lot. So I feel a smidge of that parental lost feeling. But nothing, nothing like Gabriel Sassone must be feeling after losing seven of his eight children. That loss is unimaginable. One child survived, a 15-year-old girl. And thank God, because had he lost all eight children, I don't know how you go on. Knowing you were away. Knowing that everything that's important to you in your life is gone. But now you live on, I would think. And this, again, is me trying to personalize this. You live on, you stay strong for your surviving daughter. I know so many of you, too many of you, can relate to this. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. I am amazed, I'm inspired by this man's strength, by this family's strength. Strength, by the way, and this is the other thing I want to talk about, and strength that he's found in faith. My faith has never been tested like that. But I can't believe I would be that strong. I don't think my faith would give me the comfort that it obviously has wrapped Gabriel Sassone in after losing seven children. I've been a television street reporter on the streets of New York and Chicago and Philadelphia. I've been in many homes filled with grief after a tragedy. The one that always stays with me is when I was in the home of a family in suburban Philadelphia who lost two daughters in a car accident. And there was no grief, no wailing like I explained before. I didn't see that pain. In fact, there was almost a celebration. They were Christians and they believed so fervently that their daughters were in a better place. And they celebrated their daughters going to that better place. Again, my faith is not that strong. But theirs was. And it protected them from the pain. And I'll admit, I was jealous of that confidence that there is something more. I do not have it. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. And finally, let me move on to the newsier part of this story and away from the emotion and the personalization and the empathy and the startling faith of the father and the family. And this is sensitive, I understand. And it may be too soon, but I believe we have to talk about this. Fire codes, materials, fire safety precautions, and awareness are such these days that you don't hear things like this anymore. When I got the alert on my cell phone that 7 children were killed in a fire in Brooklyn, I thought, how does that happen? I know the fire commissioner and the mayor both talked about possible changes in the fire code to prevent such tragedies. Possible changes. I think this story is crying for changes in the fire code. Because of the overwhelming tragedy and the sensitivity and the feelings for the family, no one is talking about the obvious because no one wants to come out or come off as blaming the family. But you must have working smoke detectors on all floors, not just in the basement. And the cause of the fire is thought to be a hot plate that was left on in the kitchen for food and for warmth. It caught fire after midnight when the children were asleep. Now, I get that Orthodox Jews believe that you can't use electricity on the Sabbath because you can't use a flame on the Sabbath, and it's not really a flame. See, actually, I don't get it. Somebody will need to explain to me something that is rooted in teachings long before there was electricity have to do with electricity now. Electricity wasn't around when these rules were written. So in the rules of faith, or the interpretation of the rules of faith, threatens the lives of children, doesn't the government have a responsibility to step in? A few jurisdictions already do this. Someone who is a devout Christian Scientist refuses medical treatment because they believe in the healing power of God. There have been several cases around the country where those parents have been charged with felony manslaughter for holding back medical treatment and allowing the children to die. Now, I understand the tragedy of the 7 Sassoon children is fresh and raw, and I am in no way suggesting that the parents be charged or that they did something criminal. God, no. They did not. It was a horrible accident. But as we learn from this, do we allow a religious exemption to fire safety? Because it could potentially hurt more than one family. It could burn down a neighborhood and kill others. Is my family at risk because of a religious exemption from the next door neighbors? Does the state have a responsibility to step in and say, you must provide safe warmth for your children even if you are Orthodox? I think so. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-427-2536. Susan from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Oh, I agree with everything you say, but there's something else about that. You don't leave something like a toaster or a hot plate on for 12 hours and then do it repeatedly every week. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to burn out something, and you're going to have a fire.
Yeah, I don't get that whole thing. And I hope someone that's Orthodox can call in and explain that to me. I just don't get that whole thing. You're right, Susan. You're right. You can't just leave something like that on. And again, I understand it's done. I get that that happens. And I understand. I have to watch out when I use the word understand. I don't understand, but I acknowledge that it's based on religion. Judy from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Larry, the rule, the law, the Jewish law governing Shabbat, the Sabbath, is that there be no work, that nothing connected to work be performed. The Sabbath is a work-free 24 hours. Now, whether it's lighting a fire, getting into a car, turning on a light, working in your garden, whatever it is, you know, anything that pertains to work is not allowed. Therefore, when women cook for this Shabbat, they cook for a 24-hour period and keep the food on a warmer. The Orthodox women, they keep it on a warmer. It's not to warm the house. It's to keep the soup warm or to keep the whatever they prepare. They call it challah, many of them. It's a meat, like a stew, to keep it warm. Now, many some Jews have a Shabbat goy. I don't know if you ever heard this, a Sabbath Christian who will come in and turn on the lights for them, will turn on the stove for them, will warm up the food for them so that they don't have to do this. Because to violate the Sabbath is a true violation of Jewish law. It is the holiest day. No one is buried on that day. You'll notice the children were not. No one is flown. El Al doesn't fly on that day. Their bodies could not be transported on that day.
Judy, I get all that you're telling me, and I know this. I've heard especially, but explain to me leaving a hot plate on after midnight.
Yeah, there can be no lighting of a stove. That's work.
No, I get it. So you can't turn it off either?
No, you cannot touch. You cannot turn on the car or turn off the car. You can't travel. That's why you'll see many, many religious Jews walking on the Sabbath.
But do you agree that that causes a potential danger?
No, I think the defective equipment caused the problem. I think the warmer being left on all over the world is done all the time. This is one particular piece of equipment that went bad. I think it was just a horrible accident.
No, there's no question it was a horrible accident. Judy, thanks a lot. Thanks. You provided a whole lot of information that I think was important. We'll continue on this topic. 1-866-RAWDO, 1-866-437-2536. We're talking about the unimaginable tragedy of 7 children in the same family dying in a fire over the weekend. That's what we're here to talk these things out. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo. 1-866-437-2536. It's now 10:25, and we've been talking about the shock of the weekend, the tragedy that was, that still is in Brooklyn. 7 children from the same family killed in a fire. 1 child survives. It is, in a word, unimaginable. And so we're talking it out this morning. There's so many things to talk about with this story. The empathy, the feeling of pain. How does someone survive that kind of loss? The faith that helped him get through this. And then the newsy part, the fire code. Does it need to be changed? Should there be a religious exemption to a fire code and leaving just because you can't use certain things on the Sabbath or turn on certain things on the Sabbath? Should you put your family and your neighborhood at risk? I understand that's a sensitive thing to bring up, and I want to say it again. I in no way am blaming the family for this. I just believe it's something that is worth talking out this morning. Susan from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I'm concerned about the mother. You haven't mentioned her at all.
Yeah, you know, Susan, that's a great point, and a lot of people have been ignoring the mother on this story. I agree with you. Her name is Gail, and she is in critical condition. Her story is heart-wrenching. She stood on the steps of her Brooklyn home yelling, "Please save my children, please save my children." And she was in no condition at that point to run back in and save them, because you think to yourself, my God, I would die too trying to save my kids. But she just wasn't in any condition. And the firefighters got there quickly and they did their best. But at that point, it was just too late. But I think one of the reasons you haven't heard from her is because the father has spoken so much, and she, again, is in the hospital at this point.
Thank you.
All right, Susan, thanks for the phone call. Jonathan from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Hey, Jonathan, good.
Look, I mean, this is such a terrible tragedy, and you're right. I mean, this father, for him to be able to give the eulogy that he gave was unbelievably inspiring, and it's difficult to discuss the sort of legal niceties of, you know, Jewish law about the Sabbath. I did just want to make one or two points.
Sure.
You know, the idea behind the Sabbath is it's really a commemoration of creation, and therefore the idea behind it is not to do creative work. The Bible gives a specific command not to burn fire on the Sabbath, and modern-day legal deciders of Jewish law, including some of the great rabbis in Jerusalem, of recent past, have actually discussed this specific issue as to whether electricity falls within the ambit and purview of fire. And quite a few of them actually believe that it does not. Nonetheless, the Orthodox Jewry has treated it, even if not on a biblical level, as sort of a rabbinic level to sort of refrain from it because it does have similar qualities.
Yeah, but it's a big difference, is it not, Jonathan? It's a huge difference to collect logs and to start a fire and to do the work of putting on a fire than just flipping a switch.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the truth is that many rabbis permit people to use clocks and timers to allow things to go off when they're not necessary, which people use for lights and use for other sort of electrical appliances. So certainly a hot plate. Look, at the end of the day, no one expects something like this to happen. I think if this is something that people thought was more common and wasn't just a sort of a fluke type of accident, I think a lot of the rabbis would come out against it.
Yeah, and that's the question, isn't it, Jonathan? That's the question, and I'm getting close to news time, so I'm going to let you go, but thank you for the phone call. That was enlightening. But that's the question, isn't it? Was it defective? And we may never know, because the evidence for it may have been lost in the fire. I'm sure there's an investigation going on now. But was the hot plate that was being used and left on for almost 24 hours, was that defective? Or was it just the mechanism? Was it just leaving it on for that long? We may never know the answer to that question, but we will continue this conversation on the tragedy in Brooklyn. This is Larry Mantey in for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536 on 77 WABC.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-Geraldo, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Mantey in for Geraldo Rivera today on 77 WABC. It's coming up on 1037. We're live from the NJDiet.com studios. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. And we're talking about the tragedy that happened in Brooklyn over the weekend, early Saturday morning, a fire that took the lives of seven children in the same family. They were an Orthodox Jewish family, and they had on a hot plate that some people believe is required because of the Sabbath, and who knows what happened with the hot plate, but the firefighters and the fire investigators believe that it was the hot plate that caused the fire. And so we have the question, if there are rules that have to be followed for any religion, and they put your family and other families at jeopardy, do you have to now look at those rules? Do you have to look at that religious exemption to the fire code? And I'm not saying at all that this family did anything wrong. God forbid you take that from what I said. I understand the pain. I have four children of my own. I can't imagine losing them. So as close as you can come to empathy in this situation, I'm there. And I've been in so many homes. And I had a niece that died from drowning. And a year later, they had a baby. I don't want to say to replace that niece, but they had another baby because they wanted to have another child as quickly as possible. And that child died of SIDS. And I thought that was unimaginable. Two children in the same family. But seven. I can't get over it. So I'm not ever saying that anybody in that family did something wrong. But do we need to look at the fire code based on this fire. And I know the fire commissioner has come out and said they may have to look at it. And I know the mayor has come out and said they may have to look at it. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Spike from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, there has to be outreach to the Hasidic community, because what this hot plate is, it's a tin or metal shield that's put on top of a stove, and the stove is on for 25 hours, and that in and of itself is a safety hazard. And it has to be told to the Rebbes and the community that this has to stop. It's not just a standard hot plate, and the vast majority of Hasidic Jews do this, and this is putting people's lives in peril, and this has to stop.
Yeah, I don't know what hot plate specifically. I'll take your word for that. But, you know, there are other types of hot plates that don't have to sit on a stove. Solomon from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, Larry.
Hi, Solomon.
I'm a little bit upset. And with all due respect, you, amongst others, are throwing out various statements and remarks. And your hundreds of thousands of listeners hear that, and then they go on and they think that there are a bunch of crazy Jews out there.
Well, Solomon, hold on for a second. Let me just address that, and I'll let you continue. But let me address that. I'm allowing you to call in, and I'm asking a question. And I'm looking for enlightenment, and I'm looking for answers. And so you're on the air now to give that enlightenment. So don't get upset at the process, and don't get upset by what I say, because what you say is equally important. Now go ahead.
All right. Thank you for that. It's not only a Jewish thing. You have hundreds of electrical appliances out there that are made not only for Sabbath observant Jews. You have electrical appliances that are called hot plates, warmers to keep food warm, that are made to begin with to leave on for extended amounts of time, such as 12 hours, 24 hours. You have crock pots. You have warmers. You have a warming drawer within an oven or a stove that is meant to leave on, to be left on for very, very long extended amounts of time. And it's made for that purpose. Now, there could have been a short in this appliance. So that means if they're assuming that it was the hot plate, there could have been a torn wire. There could have been water or something wet that spilled on that open wire, it shorted out. There could have been flammable material next to the hot plate. But generally speaking,
but everything you said goes back to the hot plate. Everything you just said goes back to the use of that hot plate for religious purposes.
It could have been a damaged one. It could have been, you look, these are all made authorized that to use for extended amounts of time. They're meant to be left on a long time. If you use them safely, they're all fine and dandy. There could have been something wrong with this particular hot plate. It doesn't mean that people should not put on their hot plates. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't leave on their warming drawers. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't leave on their crock pots that are meant to have food in it for very long amounts of time.
For 24 hours, though, you know, I get it.
It's not out of the ordinary, out of anybody, out of the general population, to be using these things. They just all have to be used properly and safely.
Yeah, you know, and Solomon, and because I don't have it in front of me, I don't have the hot plate instructions in front of me, but believe me, I'm going to look it up now. I would guess that the recommended usage isn't 24 hours. And I think when you leave an appliance like that on for 24 hours, sometimes you're asking for problems. It's potential problems. Now, look, if it was a real problem, if it was an epidemic problem, we'd be hearing about more cases. But the nature of news is, and the nature of politics is, and the nature of public safety is, when you get such a horrendous thing happened, of course you look for ways to stop this from happening in the future. And so I ask the question, should there be a religious exemption? Because there seems to be a religious requirement. If that exemption for using these appliances can be a danger to everybody in the area. John from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
John,
you're on.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I first of all want to applaud you for having dialogue about this topic. It's a serious topic. I'm a fireman over here in New Jersey. a firsthand experience in this matter. I've been in apartments where pregnant women have been sitting there with the stove running because of religious reasons, and the carbon monoxide is building up in the apartment, and the husband looks to us, what should I do? Do I turn the stove off? My pregnant wife, and I look at him and I say to myself, are you kidding me? You're jeopardizing the health and safety of your family because of, and I would really like to hear from an old school rabbi, because it seems like here in America, the Americanization of these old world laws and bylaws, if you will, you know, have been swayed a little bit. Also, the electrical condition of that house. Was the electrical updated? Was it still a BX-type wiring system where a hot plate could overheat and pop a hole? There's a lot of things. You can't look at the fire laws. You can't look at the hot plate. There's so many things involved. My personal opinion, the responsibility lies squarely on the parents. Hot plate, whatever it is, you got no smoke alarms in that house. You wouldn't have seven kids and put their beds out on the runway at Kennedy Airport. You have children. It's your responsibility to keep those children safe.
That's Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera today on 77 WABC. That was a firefighter from New Jersey who has had firsthand accounting and firsthand incidents where, because of religious canon, because of religious law, he has been in apartments where the stove has been left on. And you heard him a moment ago saying, with the husband saying, should I turn that off? Even though a pregnant wife is taking on carbon monoxide fumes. And so I stay with the question. Does the state, does the government move in to say, no. The protection, the well-being of the family and the neighborhood come first. There is no religious exemption to fire safety. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti on 77 WABC.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The time right now is 10:52. The number to call in is 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I'm coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. And one of the reasons I love being on 77 WABC is because of the wealth and the depth and the width of the audience. You put a topic out, you get lots of experts to call in. We've been talking about the tragedy in Brooklyn Saturday morning when seven children died in a fire. And you don't even hear about those things happening anymore because of fire codes. But this fire happened in a home where the family were Orthodox Jews, and they had a hot plate on for 24 hours because they believe in the canon of the Jewish law where you can't put on any appliances. You can't use the effort of switching it on, so you have to leave the hot plate on, and it was the hot plate that caused fire. And so the question is out there, should there be religious exemptions for a fire code? Should there be religious exemptions if they cause fires, if it preempts fire safety and can put your family who lives nearby in jeopardy? 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. And now Meyer, who is an electrician and a firefighter from New Jersey, is weighing in. Meyer, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I appreciate this discussion. I think it's a really important topic. However, one thing I would add is that I think fire detection plays a bigger role than the actual hot plate topic.
Because of the smoke detectors you're talking about.
Yeah, smoke detection and education to, you know, fire safety and things of that sort plays a much bigger role, I think, in all these cases.
Because reports are they only had website. Let me just tell everybody, because reports are they only had a working smoke detector in the basement and not up by the children's bedrooms. And so, Meyer, what you're saying is that had they had that smoke detector, there would have been, or there may have been, enough time to get out.
I believe so. Another thing is, if you look at the NFPA's website, holiday fire is a huge thing. I mean, Christmas trees, Thanksgiving turkeys, all these things cause fires. It's all about education. And I think we've come a long way over the years. But, you know, we're not there yet. And it's not really a religious thing. I think it's more of just, you know, getting people to be aware that, you know, you need carbon monoxide detectors, you need your smoke detectors, you need all of that. And you need your kids to know what to do in a fire.
That's a great
point. Most kids are found, like, hiding under beds and things like that. That's not the right thing to do.
Yeah. Meyer, you know? Thanks a lot. I appreciate the phone call. Israel from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Israel, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
Thank you, Larry, for taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, I just wanted to discuss two points. Number one, regarding the religious law, that the Jewish religious law holds human life in the highest regard. And I'm fortunate for that firefighter, John, from New Jersey, that called up, that said one of the people he came to on the Sabbath said, should I turn it off? Jewish law specifically says that in the case of danger to human life, all the laws of the Shabbat can be violated and should be violated. We have our own first aid religious Jews.
Israel, thanks a lot for clearing that up. I know you had 2 points, but we're just running out of time now. We are going to switch up topics a little bit because there's been a big finding that the Obama administration meddled in the Israeli election, or at least tried to meddle. And there's a Senate investigation. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Larry Menti. In for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in anytime you would like is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We're coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The time right now is 11:06. Well, well, well. So now we find out that President Obama and his administration may have meddled in the Israeli election and attempted to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu, possibly with our money. Isn't that interesting? Considering that the Obama administration claimed it was inappropriate for the prime minister to speak to Congress because he was running for election and we shouldn't be involved in that. They cited a long-standing policy that no one ever heard of to claim that the president couldn't meet with one of our closest allies because the White House shouldn't meddle in the election of another country. And now, as they claim that was the reason, the very moment that Susan Rice got on NPR and said all of that, as they claimed a long-standing policy to not meddle, they were meddling. John McLaughlin, a Republican strategist who worked on the Netanyahu-Israel campaign, says, quote, what was not well reported in the American media is that President Obama and his allies were playing in the election to defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu. McLaughlin goes on, quote, there was money moving that included taxpayer U.S. dollars through nonprofit organizations, and there were various liberal organizations in the United States that were raising millions to fund a campaign called V15 against the prime minister. Here's how this allegedly worked. The State Department, through a third party that it gave grants to, was teaching Arabs in Israel how to organize the vote. The State Department, and they brought them here to do that, the State Department would expedite the visas to get the Arab vote organizers into this country in time for the campaign and the election. If it can be proved that taxpayer money was used in any way to fund a campaign to oust an Israeli prime minister, one of our closest allies, then this is a huge story and could be a very serious problem for President Obama and this White House for the next 2 years. And it could be a bigger problem for any Democratic candidate in 2016. 1-800-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Excuse me, let me go back for a second. Leave the 800 out. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Now, the Senate has been on to this for a week or so. A bipartisan U.S. Senate committee with subpoena power is investigating the charge. Both Democrats and Republicans signed off on this. The investigation focuses on State Department grants to a nonprofit called One Voice Movement, and it also was the V15 movement that was leading field organizing efforts openly aimed at replacing Netanyahu's government with a center-left coalition. This is all, by the way, huge news in Israel, but has gotten little notice here because of our media and the way they cover this White House. The fact that both Democratic and Republican sides of the Senate have signed off on this investigation could be seen as a rebuke to President Obama, who has a, as we all know, a well-documented adversarial relationship with the Israeli leader. Now, to get into it a little bit more, the senatorial probe is looking into U.S. governmental funding to One Voice Movement, which is a partner in a get-out-the-vote drive with a newly formed Israeli political action group calling itself V15, Victory in 2015. One Voice received a State Department grant of $350,000. One Voice has an office in Tel Aviv. It was being used as a campaign headquarters for the anti-Netanyahu effort. Again, with money from the State Department. One Voice reportedly hired 270 strategists, a consulting firm whose senior leadership is comprised mostly of former top staffers for President Obama's 2012 reelection campaign. This is unbelievable. The State Department is listed as a partner of One Voice on the group's website. The State Department is also listed as a partner to One Voice in pamphlets that they send out. So, if it, you tell me, this is a big deal. President Obama, if President Obama's fingertips are on this, and I can't, fingerprints, excuse me, are on this, and I can't see how they are not. If the investigation goes back to him, and he is funding to overthrow one of our allies in their campaign, this investigation could be extremely serious and have ramifications for years to come, well past this administration. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. James from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, two quick points. For years, Israel has been also meddling in American politics. Good example, almost every governor of New York, a lot of Israeli groups raise money for. Not only that, the presidential election. But what's more scary is that, according to the FBI, in the last 5 years, over 30 Israeli Jewish American citizens have been arrested for espionage, spying for Israel. It doesn't make the American news media, but you can do a Google search. Israel has flooded this country with spies, stealing everything from Defense Department secrets to corporate industrial secrets. You rarely hear, according to the FBI.
So, James, you're saying it's wrong, right?
It's absolutely wrong.
You're saying that's absolutely wrong. So then it's not right for us to do it, right?
Well, we're not spying. We're playing with election. But let me just say this. According to the FBI,
well, I'm sure we are spying too.
Israel is the only ally that has consistently been agents arrested for spying on the United States.
Yeah, James, I get it. And you're right. And it has been covered, by the way. And we have sent spies back to Israel. But to your first point, them meddling in our elections, what I would ask is that taxpayers' money that's being used to meddle in these elections? Because it sounds like it was private groups. This is a little bit different if we're using State Department money to meddle in the election of an ally. That's number one. And two, you just said in your opening statement that it's wrong. So if it's wrong for them to do it, it's wrong for us to do it. And so I don't know where this investigation goes, but the investigation is going to get played out in the Senate floor. There's no question of that. And if it goes to the Oval Office, could the president be subpoenaed to talk about his relationship with Netanyahu? And if it got to be that bad, that hostile, that he was using U.S. taxpayers' money to fund a campaign to oust Netanyahu? Well, I mean, look, I think that it would be a huge investigation, if only for political reasons. This would greatly damage the Democratic Party. I know Hillary Clinton must be sitting back there going, wow, thanks a lot. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Your phone call next on 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
This is Larry Menti in today for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The number right now is 1122. We're coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. I want to take you back a couple of weeks when there was the furor about Benjamin Netanyahu coming to speak to Congress. And Susan Rice was on with Charlie Rose and spoke for the administration in saying that President Obama was not going to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu because of a long-standing policy not to meddle in the elections of foreign countries, and that he shouldn't speak to Congress because of this long-standing policy that our country should not meddle in the elections, the free elections, especially of our allies. And now we are finding out that the Obama administration was meddling all along in the election to oust Benjamin Netanyahu by helping Arab organizers within the country and by giving $350,000 to a nonprofit who was funding the V15 campaign that had a campaign headquarters in Tel Aviv specifically to oust Benjamin Netanyahu. So taxpayers' money, at the same time this administration was saying we should not meddle, taxpayers' money was being used to fund a campaign to meddle. The Senate is looking into this now, and I think it's going to be a big deal. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Russell from Westchester, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, not meddling is not the same thing as not allowing our country to be used by a foreign leader. Israel's not an ally. There is no defense treaty between us. And you're beginning to sound like Dick Cheney and the efforts in South Africa when he said, oh, helping the black people vote makes Nelson Mandela a terrorist. Do you think you're getting along those lines?
No, I don't think I'm getting along those lines at all, Russell. And I disagree completely with your premise. You are saying because there's not a written document that Israel is not our ally, because the Obama administration disagrees with you.
Well, allies are people that we have mutual defense treaties with. We do not, as a fact, have. But, you know, this is great for the Democratic Party because most people in the U.S. don't support an outlaw state which continues a 50-year occupation and shows no sign of relenting without pressure from outside. I'm glad Netanyahu was elected because it shows Israel will not yield without pressure from outside.
All right, Russell, thank you. John from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, please explain to me. Since the Republicans got into office, they seem to be doing nothing. Now, are they going to investigate Congress for allowing Netanyahu to do a campaign speech on the platform in Congress? I mean, come on.
But how was that a campaign speech? Did you listen to the speech?
It's the same thing. They're meddling.
Did you listen to the speech?
Of course. Well, I heard snippets of it.
Yeah, it wasn't a campaign speech. It was specifically saying that we shouldn't.
His agenda out so that the whole world could hear his agenda, even his people back in Israel who wanted to, you know, to vote for him.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not going to be naive enough to say to you, John, that there wasn't an ulterior motive for him being here, but he was invited by Congress, and he felt, and I believe him, that he was defending his country by being here. So as the Prime Minister of Israel, was he supposed to not take the invitation when he saw a treaty with Iran that he thought, a country that said it wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and us writing a nuclear arms treaty with them? By the way, we had the same, a similar nuclear arms treaty with Iraq, and you know how that turned out. So he was saying, we're playing a fool's game. But to me, it wasn't a campaign speech. It wasn't transparently a campaign speech. And you have to admit, it is a lot different for the President of the United States to use taxpayers' money to fund a campaign in another country to get an ally kicked out of office, one that he has a personal grudge with. That's a lot different than Congress inviting him to talk here. Philip, from Virginia, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Larry, all the anti-Semites are calling into your show today. It's terrible.
Bobby from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
You had mentioned that this is going to hurt the Democratic Party. I'd like to know how, with Obama's amnesty and everything else, where they're going to be buying more Democratic votes, because our country now doesn't vote on ideology. They do vote on one ideology, but they don't vote on politics. What they vote on is, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? How much are you going to give me? What are you going to do for this one? What are you going to do for that one? All they want to do is put their hand out and take, take, take. And a perfect example of this Democratic stuff you're talking about is look at New York City this week. One of the city councilmen from Queens, Daniel Drum, wants to introduce a measure, if passed, which will allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. Why? To get more people voting for Democrats, which already hold 48 seats of the 51 in the city council.
Yeah, Bobby, you took this somewhere else, but let me on what was on point, let me address that. And it's going to hurt because in past elections, the Democrats have been able to get about 67% of the Jewish vote. And I don't think that's going to happen with this administration taking this stance. And when it comes out, and it will come out on a highly publicized investigation, Senate investigation, that they meddled in the election in Israel. Paul from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. The people here just don't understand what's going on. Netanyahu spoke. He did not talk about an election. He talked about what's going on with Iran. Iran is a bunch of known felons that kidnapped Americans who are the leaders, killed students when Obama became president, and destroyed the Green Revolution. And that makes me laugh, because Obama is saying Iranian people should talk. They got killed. They got shot. They have no voice in a place that has people running it who are kidnappers and terrorists.
Yeah, no, the Green Movement you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that part of the nuclear arms deal is because that Green Movement is much bigger than we are hearing or that we're covering in our media here. And Iran, by the way, was not too long ago killing Americans in Iraq and killing Americans in Afghanistan. So I would be wary of entering any deal with them at this point. So the Republicans are holding up a nomination and are being called racist and sexist for doing it. And you can get used to this. This will be the attacks right through 2016. We'll talk about it when we come back on 77 WABC.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Geraldo has the day off. This is Larry Menti filling in. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. The phone number to call in. I'm coming to you live from the NJ Diet.com studios. So Republicans in the Senate are holding up the nomination of Loretta Lynch for Attorney General, and many say, many of the senators, the Republican senators, say they will vote against her. Loretta Lynch is the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, so she represents the five boroughs. She's also black and a woman, so the Republicans must be racist and sexist, right? Must be. Whatever reason could there be. This is the new attack politics. Get ready for this through the 2016 election, as Democrats need to paint Republicans as old white men who hate women and minorities to build their coalition to win. Remember, the last couple of elections, well, two elections ago, it was young people too. The re-election of President Obama, not so much. But the coalition for single women especially and minorities was huge. Even though her race and sex have nothing to do with the Republicans standing in her way, it has everything to do with the Constitution that the senators were sworn to protect, along with the president and Ms. Lynch, if she is ever sworn in, which the confirmation is in jeopardy at this point. Many Republicans say they will not confirm Lynch, and they have made this very clear, because she has testified that she believes the president's executive order on immigration amnesty is lawful and constitutional. No matter how you feel about the immigration issue, the executive branch cannot write or make laws. The fact that someone who will be the chief legal officer does not see that as a problem is a problem. It matters not how impressive her career has been, and it has been impressive, and that her confirmation is historic, and it would be historic. That doesn't matter. If she believes that the executive branch can make law, she willfully is ignoring one of the tenets of the Constitution. But here is the problem with all of this. And you would think that would be a non-starter. That's it. You can't be Attorney General if you feel that way, especially for Republicans. I think she's going to get confirmed, because the Republicans are going to fold on this. Because the worst thing in politics you want to be labeled as, is racist and is sexist. And the Democrats know this. Now, they're smart enough to know that's not the reason, but they're using it anyway. And get ready for this, because it is going to be the mantra all the way through 2016, and there's something evil about it. There's something despicable about it. It is the dirtiest kind of politics, but it's going to play out there in the open, and many people in this country are dumb enough to fall for it. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin got up on the Senate floor and accused the Republicans of racism on the Senate floor. By the way, the good senator voted against Condoleezza Rice's nomination. Was he racist? Was he sexist? Hillary Clinton has already tweeted out that holding up the nomination of Lynch is sexist. This is a Democratic double-barrel assault. And believe me, this will continue right through the campaign for president. So my question is, when the Republicans finally get around to having a vote on Lynch, will they cave and confirm her? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I think they will. And it will be one of the most embarrassing episodes of the past 6 years, as no one has the guts to stand up and protect and honor the Constitution that they all swore to protect and honor. Stan from Forest Hills, you're on 77 WABC.
If it's Monday, it's Larry. Good to have you back, Larry.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
I don't see a problem with this lady. I think she'll get through. As you heard, Mayor Giuliani, who I can't stand, has come out for her to a large degree. I think he's worked with her in the past.
Right, he has.
As a prosecutor, and he seems to gravitate to prosecutors, and I think he knows of her to some extent, and he's for her 100%. I wish he would have come out further. That might have made a difference. But I think on the constitutionality, if the president, we've said this, if the president does executive orders, they can be challenged by the courts, the Supreme Court. And I don't see a problem with her getting, I really don't. I don't know what they're holding her up because of other things. You and I know that.
No. They're holding up the nomination for other things. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's what they're holding it up for. But the confirmation, what I'm saying is, should someone who says, no, the executive orders are fine, and when it clearly is the president making law, and it's being challenged in the courts right now, and she comes out clearly and says, no, he's on fine legal ground. The Republicans have to fight that. They can't nominate someone that believes that.
But there are statutes, I think, which she's referring to, in particular instances, I think, especially in the immigration situation, whether they're shown to be non-constitutional, I think that may happen. But
well, if they're found to be non-constitutional, then they're non-constitutional, and she's sworn to defend the Constitution and uphold laws based on the Constitution. And if she doesn't see it, then why would the Republicans confirm her as Attorney General? If she doesn't see it, that they might as well just fold up as a party if they fold on this one. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti, in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Live, local, on it, 866-GERALDO, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera today, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. Have you been watching the NCAA playoffs, the tournament, March Madness? So how's your bracket doing so far? Everybody's bracket's shot. The people in the offices who just pick names out of a hat, they're doing extremely well. That's maybe the only way you can do well with what's going on over the last couple of days. Hundreds of millions of dollars are changing hands in betting on March Madness, in offices, online, in casinos, and the universities themselves make even more money than that, even more than the hundreds of millions of dollars in tickets, in publicity, in TV rights especially. The coaches get millions of dollars a year in salary, and the players get scholarships, even though if they're really good, they only play for 1 year and then they go into the draft, so they do not get a diploma. They get a chance to show off for the NBA. And what happens if they get hurt during that 1 year? Well, they're out of luck. And that's why there's a new push to give the NCAA players some money and other perks. Money and perks that are now outlawed by the NCAA, although they're loosening things up. President Obama talked about this. It's become a controversy in the country as to whether NCAA players should get paid, since everybody else is making money and they're doing all the work. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. There is a proposal to give the players, and this isn't just about basketball, but football, other sports, especially money-making sports. It should be for all athletes, by the way, who get an athletic scholarship. If you're going to do it for one sport, you should do it for other sports as well. Give them a stipend of $3,000 to $5,000 a month so they can really pay for all their expenses in college. Many of the colleges are fighting this because they don't want to cut into their profit. The stipends would be a pittance and a tiny percentage of what most schools take. There is also a proposal to allow the schools to pay for insurance policies on the kids because many of them have careers ahead that are worth millions of dollars, and they're risking their future income, by playing for the school. The schools are not allowed to pay for those insurance policies for the players under NCAA guidelines. They can pay for their own insurance policies on the kids, so they get money, but the kids, many of whom are impoverished, are out of luck. And now the NCAA has loosened its rules on allowing schools to pay for parents of the kids to fly to championship games, but not enough of the kids and not enough of the games. And this is why college athletes are unionizing and will challenge the NCAA on the rules. And them unionizing so far, the players unionizing in the colleges, it's been held up by the courts. They agree that they should be allowed to unionize because they're not just students. They are making a profit, and they are receiving compensation for that. James from Long Island, you're in 77 WABC.
Thank you for taking my call. My plan is this. Instead of giving them a stipend or whatever you want to give them, demand that they finish college. This way these morons that come out of school after a year, they know what to do with their millions of dollars that they're getting. Just look at Mike Tyson. Look at all the money he made. He's a moron.
Yeah, they used to do that, James. You can't quite do that anymore. You can't tell a kid whose family is struggling and has the talent to go to the NBA, hey, we're not going to allow you to do that. If you're going to go to a college, then you're going to have to go for 4 years. They just will go to the D League, or they'll go overseas and play. So you'd just ruin college basketball. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Toby from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Hey, Toby, thanks for calling. I'm doing good.
I disagree with this, just because if you're gonna pay college athletes, and again, you said in the money-making sports or whatnot, why shouldn't you just limit it to college athletes? Why don't you pay high school athletes also in the money-making sports?
Because they're not making the kind of money.
Yes, they are.
No, come on.
Yes, they are. Go to any of the big parochial schools that have budgets and are getting money from Under Armour and Nike and all of these places. They have budgets.
Yeah, they're still not. It still pales in comparison, Toby. Sorry, we're running out of time, but thanks for the phone call. I'll be back again tomorrow. We can pick up on this topic if you would like, because it's going to be around for a while, and even the president has said he is against paying the kids. This is Larry Menti in for Gerardo Rivera on 77 WABC.